Oh, yes, indeed. Good testimonies this morning. Praise the Lord that we look for opportunities like that, like June said, of helping people out. And that's how we win them to the Lord. We've got to show them the kindness of God first and win an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Good testimony. Folks, for our final hymn this morning, let's open up to hymn number 62. Hymn number 62, another great hymn concerning the cross. And all these, I love this section of the hymnal, because all you notice across the page, you've got Fanny Crosby's famous Near the Cross hymn. And all these hymns in this section of the hymnal are about the cross. And as our church secretary, Ellie, always says, that's where we need to abide, near the cross. Well, hymn 62 is At the Cross. We'll stand for our final hymn, which will be At the Cross. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth of Sir Isaac Watts' great hymn of the faith, At the Cross. Praise the Lord for that. It's where we found the light.
Once and did my Savior plead, and did my sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross is where I first saw the light, and the burden of mine heart rolled away. Yes, it did. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon that tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by me I received my sight, and now I am happy on the day of the fourth. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. It is all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Please be seated this morning. Good singing, and notice some joy on those faces as you were singing about first seeing the light. There's only one place that a person can find that light. It's at the cross, period. There is no other light available to mankind, spiritually speaking, than the light of Jesus Christ found at the cross of Calvary. Well, praise the Lord, folks. At this time, let's grab our Bibles this morning for the spa Sunday morning sermon. Open up to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 48 this morning. And as I was reading through this passage yesterday, the Lord struck me with a message for you and I. Yes, indeed. While you're turning to Isaiah 48, let me give you this week for what it's worth. A wife said to her husband, "Why do you say amen in church instead of a woman?" The husband replied, "Because you sing hymns, not hers." The old farmer came home from church Sunday morning. Wife said, "Was the sermon good?" Yes, it was very good. Well, what was it about? She persisted. Sin. Well, what did he say? He was against it. He was against it. Oh, folks, praise the Lord. As we open to Isaiah chapter 48 this morning, and here in this passage, as we come to the Word of God at this time, the Messiah is speaking to his elect nation, Israel, whom would reject him in time. But at this point here, 700 BC, the second person of the Godhead, you'll see real quickly, is the one doing the speaking. In Isaiah chapter 48, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. We'll begin reading in verse 16. And the Lord says, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." Beloved, I want to call your attention to verse 17, and I want to speak a message I've entitled, "Teaching Thee to Profit." Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for verse 17. Lord Jesus, you are speaking directly to Israel, the elect nation, and Lord, to your believing remnant amongst them. And you make an incredible statement in verse 17. No, God, we're so thankful that the same truth stands still today, that you teach us to profit. Lord, I'm so glad that you're not speaking here of financial gain. You're not speaking here of materialism, of wealth, health, and prosperity. But Lord, you're teaching about spiritual profit that every believer needs in his or her Christian life. And I'm so glad, Lord, that you teach us how to acquire that glorious divine profit that the world cannot give. Lord, bless your word. Through this message, may your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts in a powerful way. Oh God, that we would learn to profit from thee, that we would hear your voice and follow your instructions, and indeed be profitable servants for thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Glory to God. I'm so glad this morning for this passage where the Lord Jesus clearly states that one of his purposes for the child of God, the true believer, is teaching them to profit. Now, beloved, you've come to the cross. We sang of it. You've made that decision to repent of your sins and put your faith and hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have accepted the offer of salvation. You've received the forgiveness of sin, and now you're a blood-washed, born-again, heaven-bound child of the living God. You now enjoy fellowship, divine communion with God your Father. You now have a personal relationship with him, where you talk to him and he talks to you. It's very special. This is what we call the normal Christian experience, the normal experience of the true believer. And now begins the process of spiritual growth and development, which will continue all through the life of every Christian. And because he loves you so much, beloved, the Lord begins to teach you by his holy heavenly Spirit. He's teaching you to profit. If the world could only grasp this truth this morning, they would realize that God is not their enemy. God loves them, and God wants to profit them if they'll only come to his Son. Beloved, I want to give you a few things concerning God's teaching thee to profit. The first one is this. The first thing that he teaches us is that most people do not understand the reality of this truth. Look with me in Job. Now, verse 17 says, "I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit." Amen? The Bible makes that clear. But most people do not understand this truth. Go with me to Job chapter 21. The man, Job, in chapter 21 of Job's book, makes an incredible statement concerning God and concerning the sons of men. Look what he says in verse 7. Job 21, verse 7. Because most people do not understand this truth. 7. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Notice what the world says in the face of God Almighty, their Maker. They say, what profit should I have by serving God? Beloved, the simple truth is that this lost world does not understand this biblical truth. God wants to profit them, and they do not understand that. They do not comprehend the love of God and the kindness and goodness of God that desires to profit them. What profit shall we have if we serve him? Go to Job 35, if you're still in Job. Go to chapter 35. Look what else they say to God. Depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. That's what the world says to your God. In Job 35, look at verse 3. For thou saidst, what advantage will it be unto thee? And what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? Do you see the question the world asks to Job? They say, what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? Well, for one thing, you won't go to hell. A second thing, you won't end up in the lake of fire. A third thing is you won't end up living with Satan forever. I mean, come on, people. What profit should I have if I be cleansed from my sin? They don't even understand the damnation of hell that awaits them and the profit they'll have by getting saved and escaping that horrific destiny. Oh my! They do not understand the reality of this truth. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Listen, God, hell wasn't made for people. It was made for the devil and his fallen angels. But people do go there. Because they desire not the living God, Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that he teaches us, is that most people don't understand this truth. But secondly, he teaches us that we must depend upon him and not rely upon people. Look with me back in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. You know what God is saying there? He's saying, don't listen to man, listen to me. Amen? If you learn to listen to God in your Christian life, and not sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, and the gossip of the church, you will be a strong Christian. You will profit greatly. How? By listening to God. And not relying upon people. Go to chapter 30 of Isaiah for a moment. Look at this passage I just thought of. Isaiah chapter 30. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 30 at verse 5. Listen carefully. Verse 5. They, whoever they were all ashamed of a people that could not, what? Profit them. People cannot profit you. Nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. See that? Verse 5 says, those people could not profit you, the people that Israel were dependent upon. 6, the burden of the beasts of the south, into the land of trouble and anguish. That's what they'll give you. Anguish. From whence come the young and the old lion, the viper
and fiery flying serpents. Those are pictures of demons. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. Notice that. You know, some people are really strange because they depend on human beings who can't help them one iota. It boggles my mind why any Christian would go to the world for help. That world out there doesn't want to help you. They want to tear you down and bring you down with them. 7. For the Egyptians, picture lost people, shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. God says, don't go down to Egypt for those Egyptians for help. Sit still and depend on me. You see it? God says you need to depend upon me and not the arm of flesh. Someone wrote, church problems of the first century and of the church today. Listen carefully and think with me. Problems of the first century church and of the church today. First problem, in danger of losing their first love. Sound familiar? Second problem, being afraid of suffering for Jesus. Third, doctrinal defection from truth. 4, moral departure from purity. 5, spiritual deadness and indifference. 6, not holding fast in the faith. 7, lukewarmness and absence of zeal. Does that sound like any churches you know today? I wonder. Oh yeah, we've got 1,000 of them. They're just going through the motions. There's no life, there's no power, there's no Holy Spirit in that. Why? Because they're dependent upon the pastor. They're dependent on people and not upon the arm of the Lord. People haven't changed in 2,000 years, folks. That's why the Lord teaches us to depend totally on Him and not to rely upon people. But something else I see. Thirdly, what else does He teach us in profiting? He teaches us that materialism cannot satisfy the soul of man. Go back to our text in Isaiah 48. Materialism cannot satisfy the soul of man. You know what that means to me? It means the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel has no satisfaction in it whatsoever. Oh yeah, Mr. Copeland. In chapter 48 of Isaiah, verse number 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Notice the end of this verse. God says, the second person, I am going to lead you personally by my Spirit in the way that you should go in your life. Isn't that beautiful? I love that because the world says, gimme, 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 get rich, hit the lottery, materialism, wealth, and prosperity. That's what the world wants, materialism. Now, look at Jeremiah chapter 2 for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 2. Because the third thing that he teaches us is that materialism will never satisfy you. Never. You can get a bigger car, you can get a bigger boat, you can get a bigger house. It's not going to make you happy on the inside. No way. Look in Jeremiah chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Watch what the prophet by the Holy Ghost says here. Jeremiah 2. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. God says, I remember how much you loved me and gloried in me, your Savior. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, and they have walked after vanity and are become vain? God says, why did you turn away from me to materialism? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. God brought us through that. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests, the pastors, spiritual leaders, the priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law, the word of God, knew me not. Folks, listen to me. You know what we've got in our churches today? We've got a bunch of so-called leaders who don't know God. Look at that in verse 8. They don't know the word of God because they know not God. Wow. Verse 8. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not what? Profit. God says anything of this world cannot profit you like I can profit you. See that? Verse 8. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see. Send unto Kedar and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. See, God says, whatever you're trusting in beside me cannot profit you, ever. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. Watch it. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Two, they've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what he's saying there? In verse 13, he's saying, you left your first love, and now you're dependent upon things that cannot satisfy. Broken cisterns, which can hold no water, picture the Holy Spirit. God is not in that. Materialism cannot satisfy. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, don't turn there. Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus says, if you could gain everything, all of the riches in this world, by the way, Antichrist will do that, but he won't be satisfied. What profit shall it have to you when you lose your own soul? See that? God is the only one that can profit us. An actual advertisement for a Baptist church in Kansas City, Missouri, emphasizes the comfort of its sanctuary thus, and I quote, worship in comfort. You can worship now in our latest scientifically controlled air-conditioned sanctuary. It is equipped with refrigerated cooling. No stuffy water coolers to infect your sinuses, stir your hay fever, or give you a cold. Our air is dehumidified, well-circulated, and changed completely every 5 minutes. Enjoy cool Sunday services. Folks, that's what they want you to enjoy, cool Sundays. They don't want you to be uncomfortable. You know what folks want today? They want a comfortable Christianity where it doesn't cost them a dime. They want a comfortable Christianity where they don't have to suffer for Jesus Christ. They want a comfortable Christianity where they don't have to knock on doors, don't have to tell people, don't have to give out gospel tracts, don't have to serve God. That's what they want. That's what they want. And that kind of Christianity cannot profit you. Folks, today, people want a comfortable Christianity. They don't want to give up anything for Jesus Christ. Why? Materialism has infected this Laodicean church age. How materialistic. Now, this church down the street from us, and I'm not going to name it, because this is message will be on the website, but the pastor of this church down the street, the big church with the rock bands, well, he's just been charged with child molestation. Hello? I mean, folks, listen. These churches do not know God. It's a form of godliness without the power thereof. Our Lord teaches us that materialism cannot satisfy. Not ever. Because materialism cannot profit you. But fourthly, there's something else that he teaches us in teaching us to profit. He teaches us, fourthly, that this book, the Word of God, is absolutely essential to our spiritual well-being. Amen? Go back to Isaiah 48. Watch this. I love this. In verse number 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Whenever you see the Holy One of Israel, it's always, always speaking of the second person of the Godhead, the Messiah. I am the Lord thy God, that's who he is, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Somebody tell me, how does he do that? How does he lead you by the way you should go? By the what? The word of God. That's right. Verse 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, my words, the Bible. Then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. What? If they only followed the word of God. That's what he's saying. Folks, he teaches us to profit by teaching us that this book is absolutely essential to our spiritual health and well-being. Folks, listen to me. If you go without food for a week, I guarantee you will be weak and starving. Now, if you're fasting, that's another story. But if you go without spiritual food for a week, Sunday to Sunday, you are going to starve spiritually during the week. You're not going to be right with God. Because only this book, the power of it, can drive sin out of our lives. That's why we need to be in it daily. Because of the flesh. This book crucifies the flesh. This book is what teaches us to profit. Amen. It teaches us the way that we should go. The word of God. And it is absolutely essential that we have our noses buried in it. Go to 2 Timothy for a minute. Hold your place again in Isaiah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this verse. Paul, by the Holy Spirit here, really puts it together for us, clearly in black and white, in 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Look with me at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Sounds like the world we live in. But continue thou, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the what? Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable! Profitable. The Bible is profitable to you, beloved. Listen, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why, Paul? That the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, that's spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He says the word of God will profit you. It's profitable. It's profitable. I'm so glad it is. Listen to Hebrews 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? I thought the word profits, yeah. Listen to the rest of the verse. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Folks, in order for this book, the word of God, to profit you, it has to be mixed with faith. And we're not talking about temporal faith. We're talking about biblical saving faith, where you put your soul's eternal trust in Jesus Christ and the word that he gave. Amen? Oh, this is so good. In Pottsville, Pennsylvania, after a great ice storm, the broken end of a high voltage wire was lying exposed on the pavement, along which engineer Mike Hildenbrand was walking. As Bob Schlitzer, his work partner, saw him walking toward the danger, he yelled to warn him, "Look out for the wire! It's live!" But his voice was being drowned out by the noise all around. So in desperation, Mike picked up a good-sized rock and threw it at Bob, hitting Hildenbrand in the back and crouching down in pain just 18 inches from the certain death of the live wire, he saw the power line finally. He was about to step on it when he got hit with the rock. With tears in his eyes, he thanked Schlitzer for saving his life. Folks, he saved his life by hitting him with a rock, you see, to get his attention. That's exactly what God does for us. He prevents us from our own destruction by his loving correction in our lives. Isn't that good? He loves us, so he corrects us. Now, folks, listen. We need the word of God to warn us of the dangers that are out there. Something else, though. Speaking of correction, he teaches us, fifthly, that divine correction is always for our good. Did you know that when God chastises you, it's called chastisement. It's called correction. It's called discipline. It's for your good. Did you know that? Oh, God's so mean. He spanked me. Yeah, for your own good. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this verse. In Hebrews chapter number 12. It's a great, one of the famous passages on God's correction of his child. And in Hebrews chapter 12, look with me at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Children of who? God. My son, this is God speaking. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Notice the word every. If you never chastise, you're not a true believer. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. What is a bastard? That's an illegitimate child. It doesn't belong to the father that supposes it is. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, God, for our what? Profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He chastens us for our profit. He teaches thee to profit. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God says, I want to profit you, my child, by chastening you. By chastening. What? That's right. Every single one of us need chastisement at times. Why? Because every single one of us messes up. And if we don't confess that sin and repent of that sin before him, then comes the rod of correction called chastisement, right? But something else. Finally, sixthly, what does he teach us back in Isaiah 48? How does he teach us to profit? Finally, he teaches us that holy contentment is eternally profitable. Holy contentment is eternally profitable. Look at our text. Verse 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. Now, watch what he says. 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. He's saying you would have been so satisfied by hearkening unto my voice, by letting me teach you to profit. It would bring you such incredible satisfaction. Why? Because holy contentment is eternally profitable, beloved. Go with me to 1 Timothy again. In 1 Timothy, go with me to chapter 4. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And look with me in 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 6. Notice what he says. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, talking about mealtime, dinner table, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. This is why we pray over our food. It says, the food, you can now eat pork, Israel. You can now eat pork. Okay, you can eat shellfish. I have to have my lobster. Why? Because it's sanctified by the word of God. The word of God says it's okay to eat it now. That's what that word in sanctified means, set apart. In the Old Testament, under the law, it was not sanctified to eat it. Okay, the word of God, which says now we can receive all food with thanksgiving, it sanctifies the food. Okay, it allows you to eat it. 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Why, Paul? For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. He's saying godliness will profit you eternally, not just temporally. Like bodily exercise will profit you temporally, give you a good build, muscles. That's only temporal. But godliness is forever. You see it? 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What is, Paul? That godliness with contentment is profitable unto all things. That's so beautiful. I'm so thankful for that. Flip over to chapter 6 if you're still in 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, look at verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the word of God, and to the doctrine, the word of God, which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, Timothy. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us there be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. See that? He says in verse 6, godliness with, coupled with contentment, that satisfaction of heart and soul within, is great gain. It's great gain. It's eternally profitable for you to have godliness with contentment. Folks, in closing, from our daily bread, the mother of a brain-injured child recently wrote these words in her journal, and I quote, "We would have called our daughter's handicap the greatest tragedy of our lives if it were not for the fact that through it we came to know the Lord so much deeper. Words cannot fully express our keen disappointment when our little girl failed to experience normal mental development. Yet, her condition made us understand just a bit how our dear Savior must feel when his children do not mature spiritually. The Lord knows that heartaches, if properly accepted, will enrich our lives in a way that otherwise could never happen. Strengthened in the inner man, we come through our trials bigger and better Christians, and with a new, brighter testimony." You know what she's saying? She's saying it was difficult giving birth to a handicapped child, mentally impaired. But she said through that difficulty, we drew closer to the Lord Jesus than we ever were. Wow. He's teaching thee to profit, beloved, and he's working all things together for your good, because he loves us so much that he wants us to profit by maturing us spiritually, becoming more and more and more like his son, less and less and less like our old self. He's teaching thee to profit. The question this morning is, are you learning? Are you listening? Are you profiting? He wants to teach thee to profit. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the message. Teaching thee to profit. Lord, I thank you that knowing that all things work together for our good, we know that you are working in our lives to profit us. No, not financially, not materialistically, not possessions-wise or bank account-wise, but to profit us spiritually, the treasures of heaven. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're filthy rich. Thank you, Lord. We have been so profited by the Redeemer, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has profited us not only for this life, but for all of eternity future. We are profited by the Son of God. Folks, if folks could only get a glimpse of this truth from the Bible, that God is not their enemy, but God loves them, and God desires to profit them in their lives through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, help us to share this message with the world, that they might come to be profited by the Son of God, as we have. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, please, God, grab your hymnals at this time. I'd like us to stand for a time of invitation. And we'll open up our hymnals to hymn number 66. Hymn 66, again, we're in that section that talks, all the songs are about the cross. Well, here's another one. 66. Sir Isaac Watts again. And this time, he writes the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We'll sing all four for our time of invitation, beloved. Altar is open if you need it. Yeah.
Bye.
Praise the Lord. All good singing this morning, church. And don't forget, just a couple announcements in closing before we close in prayer. 2 weeks from this morning, we'll be having our potluck dinner. Ladies, cook us something good to eat. And then also, don't forget, tonight we'll be here at 6 back in our studies on the Olivet Discourse. That's being a blessing. And Wednesday nights at 7, we are having a time in the Book of Ruth. Oh, there's just so much to glean. Handfuls on purpose in the Book of Ruth. And it is such good spiritual treasure. On Wednesday nights, we're having a ball in that book. So, folks, by the way, we've only got 2 more weeks in the Book of Ruth. Then we'll begin a new book of the Bible. Have a great afternoon. And don't forget, He's teaching thee to profit. He's teaching thee to profit. Father in heaven, I would thank you this morning for a good message from your word that, Lord, indeed it is true. You are the one and you alone, Lord Jesus Christ, that teaches us to profit. And Lord, I'm thankful that this profiting is for all those who've become born again, born of God, sons and daughters of the living God. Lord, we're so thankful that we can call thee Father. And Lord, we're so thankful that your Spirit is within, teaching us, leading us, guiding us in profitable paths that are eternal paths. We're thankful for it. Lord, we ask you to bless us as we're dismissed and use us even today to lead a soul to thee, to tell somebody about Jesus' love. In his holy name we pray. The people said, amen. Amen.